Today, as we celebrate this feast of the circumcision of our blessed Lord, for many of us that might seem kind of gross. Why would we be celebrating such a thing as that? We have to be able to look back at the time and remember that circumcision was the very sign of the covenant that God had made with the Jewish people. Now, even there, you look at it and say, okay, but if that's the case, why did Jesus have to go through that? Because after all, he is God. He's the one the Jewish people made the covenant with. Well, there are a variety of ways we can look at that. We can say, well, first of all, it's made very clear in St. Luke's Gospel that all of the things that our Blessed Lady and St. Joseph did were in obedience to the law of the Lord. So all of those events that were taking place, all in obedience. So we look at that and say, all right, it was done because they were obedient. Except then we look at it again and say, if that's great to be obedient to the law of the Lord, and we need to, but this is the Lord. And so if this is the sign of the covenant, and he's the one that the covenant is made with, then why? It's sort of like asking the question that we'll look at in a couple of weeks and say, why was Jesus baptized? If he was baptized with the baptism of John, which was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin, and he has no sin, why was he baptized? Not for himself, but for us. And that might help us then to be able to look at this, because for us, baptism, which obviously isn't the baptism of John the Baptist now, but the baptism of our Lord, it is that which brings us into the covenant. Well, for the Jewish people, it was that circumcision that brought them into the covenant. But even there, we say, okay, but what does this have to do with our Lord? For us, we can look at it and say, okay, he's the head, we're the members, so the head went ahead so that the body could be baptized, and what he did was for us so that our sins could be forgiven. We can see all of that, but what about this? Well, there's actually a very strange passage toward the beginning of the book of Exodus, and it's dealing with Moses. And Moses had not had his son circumcised. And so after Moses goes and meets with Pharaoh, so God has already called Moses. Moses goes and meets with Pharaoh for the first time and says, look, let my people go. And then it says, very odd, on the way back, they stopped to lodge, and God wanted to kill him. Like, what? Obviously, if God wanted to kill him, he would have been dead. But then it says that his wife, Zipporah, took a flint, circumcised his son, and then touched the foot of Moses, and he was immediately healed. But it's what comes right after that. She said, now you are a bridegroom to me in blood. Therein lies the reason. So yes, this is indeed the covenant and the sign of the covenant for the Jewish people. But what is that covenant? It is a matter that God had chosen them and made himself the bridegroom. Now we then look at it and say, so who is Jesus? He's the bridegroom. The bridegroom of his church. He's the bridegroom of our souls. And so what we see is this isn't merely entrance into the covenant, because Jesus didn't need to do that. For us, in the new covenant, Jesus is the covenant. That wasn't the case in the old covenant, because that covenant was separate. It was external to the people. For us, it is something internal. And yet what we recognize in this is exactly what Zipporah said to Moses. You are now a bridegroom to me in blood. Marriage for us is a covenant, and a covenant is sealed in blood. And so while it was necessary for Abraham, with whom this covenant was originally made, and even there to recognize in the ancient world there were different traditions, shall we say, in different areas, different religions with regard to circumcision. And so when God made this point with Abraham, that he and all of his male offspring, his descendants, would all need to be circumcised, we're not only told that Moses was 99 years old when that happened, but we are also told that Ishmael was 13. The Egyptians circumcised their boys at 13. We are also told then that Isaac was circumcised on the 8th day, which is exactly what was commanded by God for the Jewish people. So in other words, this was also a way that God made a very clear distinction between the one who was the promised one, the one who is the son of Abraham, who is going to be the one that God would give everything to, and that is Isaac, as opposed to Ishmael, who is indeed a son of Abraham, but he was the son of the slave woman. And God was making very clear that no, this one is not a Jewish person. This one is an Egyptian. This son, this one on the 8th day, is the one who is the Jew, and the one who is then going to be the one to inherit all the promises that God had made. So we see all of this, and we recognize then, if that's the case, there is a point where, for the Jewish people, the circumcision brought them into the covenant. It was the blood of the male being brought into the covenant with God. This is God now sealing that covenant. In other words, God is saying, look, I have made you, my chosen people, to be like a bride, and I am the bridegroom. And therefore, this covenant, as every marriage must also be when it is sacramental, it is a covenant. And every covenant is sealed in blood. And so it is in Christian marriage, but so it was when God established this covenant with his people. And so Jesus did this because he is the bridegroom. He's the bridegroom to the Jewish people in this sense, and showing himself as God, shedding that blood and being able to make to seal that covenant. Now, over the years, people have made quite an issue of the fact that this is the first shedding of the blood of Jesus. And I think this is a very important point to understand, because remember, Jesus, when he was born miraculously, without the normal opening of the womb. Consequently, there would not have been even a cutting of the umbilical cord. So this literally is the first blood of our Lord that is shed, and it is the sealing of a covenant. Now, obviously, Jesus was a boy. I'm sure he fell down and scun his knees and probably, you know, had clipped his finger while he was out in the shop working with St. Joseph or whatever. So there were other times, but none of that would be intentional. This one was. And then we fast forward and we say, so where was the other point of the intentional shedding of our Lord's blood? It is in the establishment of a covenant, the new covenant. So he shows himself as God to be the bridegroom, to seal that covenant, and then 33 years later, we see him establish a new covenant. And he is the bridegroom of his church, and it is sealed in his blood. That's why this becomes so important to understand, of the relationship that this puts us into with the Lord. So if we just look at it from perhaps a medical perspective, yeah, maybe we would be grossed out or whatever it is. We have to look at it from God's perspective. Why would God require this? Well, as a sign of a covenant. Covenant is life-giving. That's exactly where the mark is. And so it is something that is a constant reminder of the relationship with God, of the covenant that is entered into with God, and that God has become the bridegroom to his people. We take that now one step further. As God enters into this relationship in the new covenant, we become members of the Lord. We're baptized into him. Our sins are forgiven in his blood. We participate in his life. All the different things that we can look at. So yes, indeed, he is the bridegroom of our soul. And as members of the church, and the church is the bride of the Lord, of the Lamb, we can see all of that and our relationship in that. But this is where it all has to begin, to be able to see how he has done this in the old covenant. So it wasn't just simply a matter of obedience to the dictates of the law of the Lord, as we are told several times. But in our Lord's providence, the reason why, it is to seal a covenant. It is to demonstrate that covenant in blood, to show not only from the human side that now this is sealed in blood, but from the divine side that this covenant is sealed in blood. Just as he would do 33 years later when he would enter into that covenant with his church. He sealed it in his own blood. It is indeed human blood, but the person who shed that blood is God. And so while the blood is not divine, the blood is human, it is God sealing the covenant from the divine side of things, because it is the person who acts, and Jesus is a divine person. So it gets a little complicated as you look at this, and I'm probably not explaining it very well, but it's a matter of being able to see a deeper spiritual reality of what is going on, that God has made himself the bridegroom in blood. It is not just an external kind of agreement. It is not just some cute sort of thing and saying, oh, isn't this nice that God is the bridegroom? No, he has sealed that in blood. That's the importance of this, to be able to see it from God's perspective, because that's how we have to look at it when we're talking about our blessed Lord. So yes, from Mary and Joseph's perspective, maybe they were doing this because this was obedience to the law of the Lord. But from our Lord's perspective, why would he do this? Why did he go through this? You can't just simply say, well, he was a baby, he didn't have much choice. He's God. He could have handled this any way that he wanted. This is what he wanted his parents to do. And it is what they did, certainly out of obedience. But as we look in that deeper level, that obedience is something more profound. It is a point of love. It is the love of God. It is that union with God being sealed in the very blood from the Lord himself. It is God making this choice. It is God entering into this with his people. It is God sealing this in his own blood. And that is what he has done for you and me on the cross. So as we can look at all these things and see how profound they are for the Jewish people, we look forward 33 more years and we see something that is way more profound. Similar indeed, but way, way, way deeper and more profound in the new covenant that he has established in his own blood. Once again, he has sealed that in his own blood from his perspective. That's what becomes so important about this. One thing again to say, okay, Abraham has to be circumcised and that human blood seals this from the human side. This is God sealing it from the divine side. And if we can see that, we can begin to understand the depth of all of this, of what he has done for us. He has become the bridegroom of our soul in his blood.